Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
I want to talk about today something that all of us have to face in life, and it's easier when you know that it's coming. It really is. And it's called correction. Correction. It's easier when you know it's coming. Well, really? I'd just rather be surprised by it. No. No, it's easier when you know, okay, I've got to get some correction here, because all of us are wanting to head towards perfection in life. I mean, really, that's why you're in church this morning. I want to know that perfection is my pursuit. Now, we've got people in life, and I know that I've been one of them, and I know that you've been one of them, that in our immaturity, we reject correction. Because you can just know when someone doesn't get the correction that's needed, that they're going to have to get it again. It's going to come again. Young people, just know this. You'd be way better off saying, I know I messed up royally. Please, I receive whatever you give me, and I won't do that again. That's what every parent's looking for, but I know that every parent here is going, that's not what I get all the time. I won't ever do that again, because I know what that did. It's not a good. Young people reject correction until they get to a place where they go, oh, I'm mature enough that I realized that I needed that. Here's the sad thing. There's 60-year-olds that's never came to that point. They've never come to the point of accepting that there is some correction that is needed. Rejecting correction will get you frustrated with life because you signed up for Christianity. Come on, you all said, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I want to accept what He did on my behalf. And so I'm talking to saved people today, and the Bible is real clear that He says, whom He loves, He corrects. Correction has to be there. The nature of the devil, and we've talked about this the last 3 weeks. If you haven't been there, I'm just kind of catching you up just real briefly. The nature of the devil is rebellion and pride. Pride and rebellion. Jesus' nature, He said in Matthew 11:29, is that He is humble and gentle at heart. Do you see the difference? Pride and rebellion, humble and gentle at heart. Which one are you this morning? When things aren't exactly the way you want them to be, or you get called out on something. We talked last week about Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, that one of them brought what God accepted and the other one brought something, but God didn't accept it. Let me just tell you, you can come to church and bring something with you that's acceptable, or you can come to church and bring something with you that's not acceptable. Can you, what, really? Yeah, because God looks on the heart, not on what you're bringing. Now, obviously, there is certain things. But when your heart's right, God can work with that. When we were talking last week, working on getting perfect in our life, and we want to be like Him, we understand that Cain and Abel, they had different hearts. And one was pride and rebellion, and one was humble and gentle. And the pride and rebellion killed the humble and gentle. Well, that just don't seem right. I've always read that story and thought, why did that happen? Because I'm telling you, the things of God will not move forward when pride and rebellion are in the house. Pride and rebellion end up causing the cause of Christ to cease. Well, I just don't know that I believe in that. Here's the thing. When the first sin happened with Adam, now I'm just talking, we gave over authority to the little god, the devil of this world. And he came in and started taking some advantage of that. And he still wants to do that today. And the way that that is gotten rid of is we take the authority that God has given us through Christ, and that's when you remove it. Well, you're saying pride and rebellion is bigger. It is if we don't get some maturity in this house. What do you mean? God works through his people. I want to be someone he works through. How about you? Then we've got to be corrected so that we can move forward. And I'm not here to teach the areas today of correction. I'm just here to understand that we've got to place ourselves in a position to be corrected. When you have an attitude that, well, I get corrected and everything I do, people calls me out, I never do anything right. Or we get this mindset, well, nobody's perfect. If you believe that, then you won't work towards perfection. Nobody can be perfect. Oh, nobody's perfect. Every time they correct me, they're just picking on me. I'm just always the one. Everyone blames me. See, that's a pride and rebellious heart. That's not a heart that's going to receive the correction. Now, let me say, because I think it's very important to go back. You are perfect as you will ever be once you accept Jesus spiritually. But perfection in our mind and in our body is a work in progress. And as that work is done, God sees us as perfect. As we are doing, let me say it like this, as we are doing that work, God sees that as perfect. Does that mean that you will never fail? No, because you will fail in areas that you didn't either realize or you slip for just a second. And I know that happens, but what do you do with the correction when it comes in? It says you slipped. You got to fix this. You got to turn that around. See, in the church today, there's this easy believism message or doctrine, let's even say, that there is nothing that has to be done on our part once we are saved. Once we accept Jesus, I don't have to do anything. That's a real laziness doctrine, and it's real loose. And if nothing's expected or required, why is it the second we're saved, we're just taken out of here? There's a requirement on our part. So I ask you this morning, how much is it going to cost you to be a disciple of Jesus? How much is it going to cost you? Let me just give you the answer. Everything. Everything. It's going to cost you everything. Turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy. We want to spend some time talking about this because I know that we've got obviously a mentality in our culture that you need to get saved, you need to get saved, you need to get saved. Well, I believe in that. You need to get saved. But that's not the end of the message. And we always stop right there. Now, if you don't know Jesus and you've never accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to do that. And I'll be here afterwards, and I would love to talk to you about accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior because it's very important. You won't get anything else I'm talking about today. In fact, you might even get offended a little bit by this message if you don't know Jesus. But once you know Jesus, you can accept some of what he asked us to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they can't please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. I have known people who got disqualified after winning. It makes national news often. When people do something and they're disqualified, that because if you don't follow the rules, there's a disqualification. Well, God set up some things that we're to follow. I don't want to be disqualified in my walk, in my life here because I'm not following what God set up. Verse 11, drop on down to verse 11. This is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he can't deny who he is. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they've turned some people away from the truth. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver. Some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Does this sound like we have anything to do with the process? Sure it does. This sounds like we have a lot to do with the process. Endure hardship, work hard, avoid godless behavior, keep yourself pure. Now, let me give a disclaimer. We are not talking about suffering from the curse of the law. But there is hardship in the Christian life. There's hardship in the Christian life. And the Bible tells us we're to endure hardship. Now, it's not talking about the curse of the law. We're talking about putting our flesh under and submitting to his will and not our own. And I'm telling you, that's suffering. If you don't believe it, try it. Try it. Try to just submit to his will over your own. Every day, every second of every... It's hard. Come on, being a Christian is not always easy. Jesus in the garden, he was sweating blood. Do you think that was enjoyable? That's Jesus. Now, he had some foreknowledge of what was coming, but he endured that hardship for us and even more. Come on, there's some hard work that Jesus went through for us. Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. I mean, as you read Scripture, that had to be tough. But nevertheless, not my will. Jesus said this. Not my will, but yours be done. Was that easy? Come on. Was that easy? No, that wasn't easy. And it's not going to be easy for us to resist many things that are thrown our way. It's hard. But through God, all things are possible. Hebrews 12, verse 2, has been the passage we've been talking about, all of Hebrews 12, as we've been talking through this series. Verse 2, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now, let me just say, there's a joy awaiting you as a Christian. Some of us signed up for Christianity because we knew we'd get heaven. Come on, I'm going to sign up because I don't want to go to hell, and I believe that there is a God. I believe he's real, and I'm not really interested in going to hell, so I sign up for Christianity. And then I get heaven, and you do, and I'm all excited about that. But here's the thing that you've got to see that he says. The reason why he did what he did, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. How do you die to flesh? You endure the pain that it's going to take to get past it. And now he's seated at the place of honor, it says in verse 2, beside God's throne. Verse 3, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. He endured hostility of people. He endured the cross. Let me just tell you, if you're going to live a Christian life, you're going to have somebody that makes fun of you. If you're going to be a Christian in this world and live according to the mandates of Scripture, you're going to have somebody that thinks you're goofy. You're going to have somebody that kind of laughs behind your back. It's going to happen. But Jesus endured the cross. and he disregarded the shame of it. See, you're going to die to some old ways. You're going to die to what you used to do on Friday night. You're going to die to that, and people are going to be putting shame on you and making you feel bad, trying to make you feel bad. You've got to disregard those things, and you've got to deal with the pain that is caused by it. Church, we've not given our lives in our struggle against sin. Jesus did that. We didn't give our lives in the struggle. But that doesn't mean we don't have a struggle. It means we didn't give our lives in the struggle against it. Do you hear the difference there? Jesus gave his life in the struggle against sin. We are going to struggle against sin and take what Jesus paid for as how we live and how we operate and what we stand by. But that's just a real wow factor. I mean, I was really hearing somebody go, wow, in my own mind. I didn't hear it verbally, but that's... We haven't given our life in the struggle, but it doesn't mean we don't have the struggle. There is a struggle against sin. And Jesus did all this by faith. He was a man doing this for you and I. He was not only doing that for the people that were right around him at the time, he did it for all his descendants. Let's say it like that. Some of y'all need to make some changes for your descendants. Well, my dad used to be, my grandfather used to be, at some point, you don't have to follow all of those, and you can set a new standard. You can set a new standard for your family, your kids, your grandkids. Learn about faith in God and pleasing God. We've got to become a disciple of the master. And if we have a master in our life, then we follow that master. And a lot of times we've got other things being our master, but we need Jesus to be our master. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I'm not good at. And let me just say, it's no fun not being good at certain things. It's not. I mean, I can throw a football about as far from me to men, right here to the front row. I might get a little bit of a spiral. But if I was needing to throw it all the way back here, and there's no footballs in the gym, by the way. But I'm just telling that for the young people who say, you can't throw a football in the gym. But if I were to, and just we lifted that rule for a second, and I was trying to throw it, there's not much of a chance that it's going to get past about halfway down these, and it's going to be going like this. I know some people in here because I've seen you throw a football outside, and that spiral just, you ever watch the quarterbacks with the NFL and how they throw? Is it not amazing anybody? It's always amazing to me how they, good grief, they throw that ball so far, and how do they do that? They've put a lot of time and effort, and God gave them a special talent. There's a whole lot of reasons behind why they do that. But it's still frustrating when I go play catch with somebody with a football because I just can't do it that good. And I just get really frustrated. Playing against someone who's way better than you, I've heard people say, is no fun, and I agree. I don't even like learning new games sometimes because whoever's teaching me the game I know is going to whoop me, and I'm not interested. Oh, you self-right, come on. You know exactly what, I don't want to learn that because I don't want to get beat. You'll never say that. Let's just play something else. Well, what else are we going to play? Something I'm good at. That's what you're saying. I know. In chapter 12, verse 3, it says that we won't become weary and give up. Let me just expound on that. When you stay with something and you don't give up, then you start to see, oh, that's what they did there. And then you start doing it and you get better at it. And you used to feel awkward, but now you don't feel quite as awkward throwing. Now you don't feel quite as awkward going. Come on, as a Christian, and you start living that way and people start seeing you different, that awkwardness starts disappearing. And when somebody needs to pray and you say, I pray, that awkwardness of prayer starts disappearing. But the only way you get rid of that is to start praying. But you're going to have to face the shame of it. Well, that was kind of weird. I don't know. That was kind of weird. Well, yeah, we're told to pray. We're told to pray all the time. Well, I just feel awkward. Men, come on, we need to step up and pray. Men, come on, we need to step up and pray. When prayer needs to come on the scene, we need to get some maturity in us and disregard the shame and quit worried about what everybody else is going to think, and we stand up and we pray. Yesterday was a little awkward, but we were in a meeting yesterday, and I just felt we needed to pray. And there was somebody I had just met, and we're standing around. I said, can we pray before we leave? And you wouldn't believe everybody, yeah. And then I thought, oh, great, now how are you going to pray? What are you going to pray about? What are you going to say? Holy Spirit, I need you right now because you said as a promise in your word that you give me the words when I didn't have them. And you know, we prayed, and I prayed, and words came that I didn't know I was going to pray. You know, Dave and Jeannie come up here, and I didn't write out a prayer. And I, when we were, Dave, Jeannie, come on up, we're going to pray over them, and everybody's coming up here. Well, you're the pastor, you ought to be fine with that. I am because I practiced, and I keep trying, and I keep relying on the Holy Spirit, and over time, you become comfortable praying. But you don't start out that way. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Something you're not good at, you got to work at to get good at, and you got to quit saying, well, I'm no good at that. I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try to pray. And you've been here 3 years, and your wife's still the one praying every time you walk forward. Come on. By the way, no wife came and talked to me and said anything. Nor do I know if your family's the one that's doing that. So if that was the Holy Spirit, don't blame me. Lots of people would like to be a master at something. And let's just say a lot of people would like to be a master of Christianity. We'd like that. But you don't get any mastery in life overnight. And you're not going to pray just one day and God just say, okay, you're a master now. You got to work on it for the next 30 or 40 years or 50 years. You got to quit getting weary and giving up. You got to say, I'm not going to get weary and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to throw that football one more time. I know it's getting dark, but I'm going to throw that one more time and I'm going to master that spiral. I'm going to keep working at this game and I'm going to get good at it. If we're going to fight the fight, we're going to have to get some training in. We're going to have to get some training. You know, you don't have to be warned to not give up against something that's easy. Think about that. You don't have to be warned to not give up. Boy, somebody says, come on, don't give up. You can do it. Nobody says that about laying on the couch eating potato chips watching TV. I've never had anybody come in while that's what I was doing and say, don't give up. Come on, keep it up. You can do this. You got that illustration, didn't you? But in the Christian life, we're real quick to say, I go to church on Sunday. I read my Bible occasionally. I look at a Facebook post that's Christian and I put amen or yes or I'm praying for you. I'm good. Nobody's saying don't give up because that's the easy part. The struggle is on your knees every morning in the Word, interceding, believing God for something that's not. See, come on. That's the hard part. Are we willing to put the work in? We just ignore all that because we don't want to be corrected and we don't want to change anything. When it's hard, we've got to have the discipline to see ourselves through. Proverbs 3:11, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. The devil is very concerned about you developing. Let me just say that you got to know he's concerned. He is concerned about you developing. His worst nightmare is a bunch of little Jesuses walking around. That's the devil's worst nightmare. He don't want you maturing in the faith. He wants you staying a baby Christian. And it's going to take discipline to get you past the baby stage. Are you willing to take it? The devil's doing everything he can to keep masses blind to God, blinded to the truth of the gospel. And there are millions, come on, there are millions getting born again. You can't deny the statistics. They're out there everywhere. Millions are coming to know Jesus. But know this, babies are no threat to him. babies aren't a threat. You got to know that. So what he does is he convinces the masses in Christianity that you have Jesus and that's it. That's all. That is all you need. But it's like you say, okay, I'm done. He's all I need. I agree with that. But just because I have him doesn't mean I'm done. I've got work to do. He's convincing people you're just an old sinner, hopefully saved by grace. Every day you're going to sin. Nobody's perfect. You can't help it. I'm just living by grace every day, holding on, hoping that I'll make it through those pearly gates. Trying to be a good Christian isn't just saying I've accepted Jesus. It's following what he's asked you to do. And we got a lot of people getting saved and staying right where they're at. And I guess that's okay if that's your philosophy, but that's not what we're going to teach here. If Jesus is going to be your master, then you're going to be his apprentice, which means you're going to start being like and acting like a whole lot more like him. If someone ever comes up and says, who died and made you Jesus? Think about that. Jesus died and said, be like me. That's the greatest compliment you could get. If they're sincere. If you're walking in pride and rebellion and they say that, they've got it messed up. But if you're praying and you're believing and you're standing on the word of God, who died and made you Jesus? Jesus died and he said, be like me. Well, we don't ever think like that. And so we remove ourselves from growing in the things of God. See, when you look to a master and you make him your master, he'll teach you. And I want to be taught the mastery that he walked in. He had it figured out. And you know, if you have a master, they'll correct you. They'll correct you. They'll rebuke you. They'll reprove you. No one is a student of the master and then runs away from the master when those things happen, but yet still says, he's my master. Anyone who has a master listens to what the master says and receives the correction. Why? Because they care more about the mastery of Christianity than they do the discomfort. Boy, I'm getting really deep. Are y'all following me? We've got to get to a place where we care more about the mastery that Jesus is wanting us to walk in than we do the discomfort that goes along with it. Jesus is the master, and we're not to be his believers only. We're to be his disciples. And we got a lot of people stuck on just believing, and we don't move forward onto the discipleship. Maybe you haven't been his disciple, and today that's going to change. You know, if you haven't been, you can be. You can be. But it's more than just a word, and it's more than just a prayer, but that's where it starts. It starts with what's going to come out of your mouth. Hebrews 12, verse 5, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Come on, church, the Lord disciplines those he loves. People have taken that and they've twisted it and they've made up all kinds of things that just aren't true. They've said things like, well, God's going to send a tornado and tear up your house. That's the discipline of God. That's the discipline of God. God's going to put a deadly disease on you and God's just disciplining you. And you'll hear people say that. That is not true. It would then make it inconsistent with other passages. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Why would he go and redeem you from the curse of the law and then put the law on you? That's not the way he operates. And anyone who says that has got that all messed up. Yet there is discomfort and suffering while you're training in the mastery. There is. Every day we should be striving for the mastery of what Jesus mastered, and he set the example for us to follow. How long have you been in training? How many of y'all been saved for 5 years or less? 5 years or less, okay. How many of y'all been saved for 10 years or less? Come on, we're moving up. How many been saved for 15 years or less? I mean, in the last 15 years I got saved. Let me say it like that. 20 years. Been saved. How many been saved over 20 years? Look at the hands up. Where are you at in your mastery? C- Because with all those hands that just went up, know that if we were talking about karate and we were all in different karate classes, we ought to all be black belts by now. But my guess is you could ask that question at about any church across the country and you've got a lot that's still wearing a white belt. They just started. We got to start producing and receiving what God has said and making a difference. It's important. Our pursuit for the mastery allows us to be a master in the pursuit. Think about that. If we're in the pursuit, then God sees us as perfect. When we're in the pursuit of the master, we're in the master's shadow, then we are perfect because of his mastery. Well, when you're in a shadow, you start looking more like him. You start being an example of what he's on and on and on. And we start really thinking about that, and it really makes sense. Do you know that in life, there is correction that happens when you're going to master something? You're going to master it. You're going to have some correction. There are employees in life that a boss can correct more than others. There is. And they'll overcome their hurt feelings and they'll make a change and it'll reflect on their life and they'll get advanced. But then there are those that if you say anything other than a kind, toned compliment to, if you say anything other than that, they're leaving and they're out of here. You can tell somebody else that stuff. I ain't listening to it. See, they haven't willingly submitted to the fullness of the instruction. Now take that exact example and put it under the instruction of Jesus. I'm tired of somebody telling me what to do. Well, are you tired of Jesus telling you what to do? Because all they did is say the word. And when somebody's just saying the word, and you say, I'm tired of you telling me what to do, are you tired of them telling you, or are you just saying, I'm rebelling against the word of God? I'm not really interested in what God had to say. I've had people ask Michelle and I to point out areas that would help them see things that they can't see. And I'll say, all that sounds good, but most of the time we can't. Because if you do, they'll get mad and they'll find their first opportunity to leave. Some of the things, and I'm going to end with this, so I want everybody to hear this. Some of the things that would upset you the most, if you had the faith and you had the humility to receive it, could be the very thing that would cause you to get the freedom that God has to offer you the quickest. And he'd develop you in a lot shorter amount of time than the last 30 years you've been saved. If we could just receive the instruction. See, some of the things that would upset you the most if told you are the very things that would give you freedom in the midst of your circumstance. But you've cut it off and said, I'm not listening to anybody telling me, because nobody wants to hear about their failures or their shortcomings. But if we could get to a place where we could receive that, then we would start seeing perfection in those areas. I'm just telling you, Michelle and I had some real tough conversations with people who we submitted to. And they came in and told us some things that she didn't want to hear and that I didn't want to hear in the flesh. But when I went to Jesus and said, God, you were crucified. You know what it feels like. And have you ever heard you need to crucify your flesh? There are times I've got to go to God and say, right now I need you to crucify my flesh. And there are times I've laid up on my couch and I have cried tears because I messed up. And God revealed that to me, sometimes through someone, sometimes through the Holy Spirit. And he would teach me and I'd be, oh, that hurts. And I haven't found myself sweating blood yet. But I have an idea that why Jesus did that is because that's what we've got to do. There's going to be some sweating that goes on. There's going to be some hardship. There's going to be some things. I didn't expect a lot of amen in today. And the reason I didn't is because it's a very tough message. But this is something that we've got to think about. Come on, are we wanting perfection? We've got to be willing to endure the hardship of it. It's not easy. But I encourage you, find somebody that's a mentor to you and say what Michelle and I have said to them. If you find us, not walking in maturity in any area. I need you to do the tough thing and come tell me. And I promise you that I won't rebel against you and I'm not leaving. I will listen, I will hear, and I will receive. And if I don't get it fixed, come to me again. That's not an easy thing to say, is it? The only way you can say that to someone is if you've said it to Jesus first. You'll never say that to someone unless you've said, God, reveal to me those areas. And then you give someone else the freedom to do it. And when they do, I'm just telling you, there'll be freedom that comes about in your life like you've never experienced before. If you really want to be a master in an area, then you're going to have to follow the master. Did you get that today?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.